You are listening to KNNALP 95.7 FM, Lincoln, Nebraska.
Hi, I'm Nancy from FM 95.7's Big Band program, When Music Was Music. Do you remember the days when a 78 RPM record was the only kind of record you could buy?
I am old lovable Jack Kirk with an invitation then just for you. If you remember, or even if you don't, Nancy and I are sure you will enjoy our every Friday night big band program that we call When Music Was Music.
Give us a listen. We think you'll have a 78 RPM good time with us every Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. right here on the cross, KNNALPFM 95.7.
In late 2018, KNNA LP 95.7 FM set in motion the Lutheran Broadcasters Network. What is it, you might ask? It's a network of small LCMS Lutheran radio stations throughout the states and the world. What is its purpose? To help bring the Word of God to the nations. Well, how might we do this? Well, this network allows for members to borrow each other's content, essentially increasing the broadcast range of each station. This allows for more of the U.S. and the world to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. What stations have joined? Yours truly, of course, KNNA LP 95.7 FM here in Lincoln, Nebraska. And then there's KRRC LP in Rogue River, Oregon. WTPS LP in Napoleon, Ohio, KNGN of McCook, Nebraska, LRUK of Cambridge, England, KAGR LP of Arapahoe, Nebraska. You can find their links at thecross957.org and click on the Lutheran Broadcasters Network tab. The Lutheran Broadcasters Network, bringing LCMS Lutheran radios together.
Stand up. Stand out. Protecting freedom takes hard work. Protecting freedom takes dedication. Protecting your freedom sometimes takes the ultimate sacrifice. But the rewards are great, knowing that you are doing something important for your country. You have that sense of responsibility and accomplishment, knowing that you are doing something that you believe in. So stand up. Stand out. Thank you, veterans of the United States Armed Forces. The U.S. Air Force, the U.S. Army, the U.S. Navy, the United States Marine Corps, the U.S. Coast Guard, and all of our merchant mariners. Thank you for what you have done for us, and thank you to every single one of you who continue to work in this field to protect the freedoms that we enjoy in this country.
So that is the stuff when I talk about the necessity for reason, that's the stuff I think that is more relevant. Now, I think that you do need a religious system in order to inform people who are not going to sit around philosophizing all day what are good and bad modes of behavior.
With something pretty exciting at the beginning of the year here, you know, something that's really debated and talked about in the realm of politics and these sorts of things is, do we need God for a moral foundation in order to have an objective reality? That's really the big question, and that's...
Listen to Matthew Garnett and In Layman's Terms on Tuesday mornings at 8 o'clock and Friday afternoons at 5 p.m., right after Issues, etc.
Welcome, everybody. This is the Y-Files. I am Captain Kirk. I am so glad you're able to join me this afternoon. I'm sure some of you probably have some busy schedules, and I really appreciate you taking the time to tune in to the Y-Files. You can go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/theYFiles, and there you can provide some questions that you might have that we can ask pastors in the near future. We've had several listener-submitted questions
None of them are today, though. They're mine. A lot of the questions are submitted by me. And actually, over a year ago, we started this program March 4th, 2018. So we've been doing this for over a year, and I came up with, along with my co-host David, who can't be here today, I think we came up with like 108 questions, just he and myself, and then people started adding to it, and it just the list got bigger and bigger. And what's really great about these questions is that they usually spawn more questions during the show. So we've had a ton of questions, questions that can be controversial, questions that can be interesting. I don't know. There's we've discussed things like abortion and suicide. We've discussed the sacraments, baptism and communion. We've even discussed aliens. I like to bring that up, and David always gives me a hard time. But we have discussed about that, and he keeps saying, "Are we ever going to talk about Bigfoot?" Well, we can. It probably will last about 2 minutes. Probably wouldn't last very long. So, anyways, if you have any questions, you can go to my Facebook page, facebook.com/thewhyfiles, or you can actually go to the website, thecross957.org, and you can click on the Why Files logo, and that will link you to the Why Files page, which if you scroll down a little bit, you'll see this little note thing that says, ask a question. You can click on that, and it's going to be an email prompt, and you can send a question that way. So joining us this afternoon is returning to us the executive director of Lutherans for Life, Pastor Salamink. Pastor Salamink, welcome back to the Why Files.
I'm very glad to be here.
How are you today?
Doing good. I'm getting ready to go play some volleyball against our middle son. His volleyball team completed their season, and we're having an end-of-year party. So I am pumped up, very inspired. I just watched Tiger Woods win the Masters Golf Championship. So.
Oh, he won, huh?
He did. I'm pumped now.
Well, good for him. So didn't you say off the air before the program started, this was going to be a volleyball competition between you and the kids? Or the
kids and the parents.
Yeah.
So the boys volleyball team versus some parents. So we got to show them who's boss.
All right. So let's get to it. So the last time that you were on, I don't know how long ago that was, maybe a month.
Yeah.
Roughly. At the very last segment of the program, we ended up touching base on homosexuality, gender dysphoria, and kind of how to handle that. So we're going to get back into the topic of not just homosexuality, but kind of, well, really the whole LGBTQ movement.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things, Pastor, I would like to get into is first a little bit of an explanation of, maybe not each one, but what some of this means? What is homosexuality? What is gender dysphoria? You know, yeah. Let's get a little bit of an understanding of what some of this is.
Well, we can start with the acronyms, which people who are not regularly a part of homosexual transgender activism can get confused by the expansion of letters. You'll most often see LGBT, which stands for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender. Sometimes there'll be an IAQ plus added to that. So I can stand for intersex. Intersex is actually a diagnosable medical condition. Of course, nobody is, biologically speaking, intersex. Everybody falls into the genotype of XX or XY, but sometimes there are some disorders of sexual development which can make it difficult to determine on the basis of external sexual characteristics what sex a person's body is. And so sometimes a person is born with ambiguous genitalia, or they're born with extra X chromosomes or extra Y chromosomes, which can genuinely lead to some difficulties in determining at birth what sex a person is, and some difficulties as a person goes through puberty in having characteristics, even secondary sex characteristics of both sexes. So that's folks who are intersex. I think in less politically correct times, it was called hermaphroditism. Now we use the term intersex, and that genuinely does affect a small percentage of the population. The Q will either stand or questioning. These are people who don't feel that they fit on anywhere in the binary definition of sexuality. And then A stands for asexual. These are folks who feel like they are not sexually attracted to anybody or anything. And then the plus is just there to include other folks who may not fit into biological definitions of sexuality. So I think we have to be careful. Sometimes those of us who are theologically and culturally conservative, we kind of want to make light of those acronyms and how they're constantly changing and how we barely understand them and they're expanding. But we have to remember those do represent people's lived experiences. Those are our neighbors. So we do want to tread softly when we're just examining the acronyms. I'm glad that you asked the question about defining homosexuality, because it turns out it's not as simple as you might think. For most of us, homosexual means sexually attracted to somebody of the same sex, right? So if I'm a boy, that means I'm sexually attracted to a boy. And if I'm a girl, I'm sexually attracted to a girl. But research has shown that that only measures kind of about one third of people who consider themselves affected by homosexuality. There are three different axes of homosexuality measured by different social surveys. One of those is attraction. So do I feel sexually attracted to, sexually aroused by persons of the same sex? But then there is a category of behavior. So of course, it's possible to feel sexually attracted to somebody and never act on that attraction. But some people do act on that attraction. That's homosexual behavior, then engaging in sexual activity with someone of the same sex. And then there's a third axis of identification, that is identity. So do I consider myself a homosexual? Do I identify as a gay person? Because different people define homosexuality differently according to these categories, it's actually kind of difficult to measure what percentage of the population qualifies as lesbian, gay, or bisexual. The Centers for Disease Control tell us it's somewhere between about 1 and 5% of the American population who experience same-sex attraction or engage in same-sex sexual behavior or identify as lesbian, gay, or bisexual at some point in their lifetime. Hmm. Those who are transgender, we have a little bit easier time measuring those on surveys, and the CDC tells us that about 0.6% of the adult population in the United States identifies as transgender. Transgender, of course, is a person who feels like their identity as a person or their expression of their personality does not correspond to their biological sex. So gender dysphoria is what we call the feeling of not feeling like my person, my core identity matches my biological sex. And then transgender is when I begin to identify or live or express myself as a person of the other sex. So that's just kind of the definition of the terms.
Thank you for going through all that. And that was actually a good amount of time, because you know what? It's actually time for a break. it was really good timing. So Pastor Salamink, he's the executive director of Lutherans for Life, and we're going to discuss in this episode homosexuality and the other aspects of different lifestyles, I guess I could say. So we just went over the definition of quite a few of that. So we're going to get into a little bit more questions, a little bit more in-depth about all this. So stay tuned. Don't go away. We'll be right back. This is The Y-Files. This Sunday's message is going to be epic. But wait, there's more to it. Join Pastor Poppy and Pastor Moline on Proclaiming the One. Tune in Sundays at 12 p.m., Wednesdays at 11 a.m., Fridays at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Saturdays at 10 a.m. For past episodes on demand, go to thecross957.org/proclaiming the one. That's thecross957.org/proclaiming the one.
People, let me tell you about my best.
No, no, no. Nuh-uh. No.
Why the track gets snapped up?
Not that.
Everything is awesome.
Give me that. There it is. 95.7 on the FM dial. Thank you, Soundtrack Telling.
Jesus said, "Thus it is written, the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be claimed in his name to all nations." This is Pastor Clint Poppy, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. We here at KNNA LP 95.7 are excited to be able to bring the good news of God's saving gospel to the city of Lincoln and beyond. KNNA is expanding our programming with some Spanish Lutheran devotions. These Spanish Lutheran devotions will be heard at 5 a.m. and at 5 p.m. Wednesday, Saturday, and Sunday. Please share this good news with your Spanish-speaking friends. And if you have any comments or questions, we'd love to hear from you. Please write to us at info@thecross957.org. Thank you, and may God richly bless you in Jesus Christ.
Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/KNNA957. Like, share, and follow. And believe it or not, we are even on Instagram. Just search for KNNA The Cross and follow.
Welcome back to the Y-Files. I am Captain Kirk, and David is not able to join us this afternoon. So we miss him, but hopefully he is he's doing well, talking to a friend of his on the other side of the world. And that's pretty amazing that he's able to do that. And technology can be a blessing and a curse all at the same time. So
indeed.
It's pretty cool that he can do that. So joining me this afternoon is Executive Director of Lutherans for Life, Pastor Selimink. Once again, welcome back to the program. It's great to have you on. So we've been discussing the terminology of the different sexualities within U.S. society. And really quick, Pastor, you mentioned all of them, except I think you didn't mention cisgender. And that's and off air, I was mentioning to you, I just saw that just a couple of weeks ago, and I went, what is that? Mm-hmm. So what is cisgender? First of all, how do you spell that? And then what is it?
Right. So cisgender, that's C-I-S, gender. And it's actually from a Latin prefix. Cis means on this side of or nearest to me. Cisgender is the corresponding opposite of transgender. So a person who lives and expresses their personality in accordance with their biological sex, right? So a male who acts and dresses like a male would be considered cisgender. Now, you have to be careful because in LGBT advocacy, sometimes cisgender can be kind of a slur. It's like referring to someone as a WASP, right? Hmm. White Anglo-Saxon Protestant.
Yeah.
The usage of that term over time became less of a definition and more of kind of an insult. And so cisgender can be used as kind of an insult. Well, you don't understand the experience of the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender persons because you're cisgender.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But, yep, learn something new. I don't know. I guess I'm still a little confused. So it just means that they agree that they're male or that they agree that they're female?
It means that they're – so one of the common sort of slogans of the transgender moment is sex is between your legs, gender is between your ears.
Okay.
So what they mean is gender is sort of the expression of who you are, and it may or may not fit into particular social constructs or categories. And so a cisgender person would simply just be a person who expresses their maleness the way that society has come to understand maleness. So you and I would count as cisgender persons. A transgender person is the other alternative. That's right. A person who or sometimes they're referred to as gender fluid or gender nonconforming or non-binary. So if you see any of those terms, it can get confusing. But it's important just to remember that that there are people who believe and behave as if sexuality and identity is something that is given by God. And then there are people who live and behave as if sexuality and identity is something that I construct for myself.
Interesting. That's interesting. Okay. Let's move on. What does the scientific research say about homosexuality and I guess any of the other sexualities?
Well, that's interesting. There, it's interesting because the science does not agree with some of the cultural assumptions on both sides of sexuality. First of all, biological research and social surveys show us homosexuality is not necessarily something a person is born with. So despite what media might say, there has been no identification of a gay gene. There's been no studies that have given conclusive evidence and very few studies that have even given circumstantial evidence that genetic differences play much of a role in a person identifying as homosexual in the first place. We got to remember that when it comes to genes, our DNA does not define how we think or act. Our DNA simply tells our body's cells what proteins to produce. Mm-hmm. And those proteins often are neurochemicals that communicate between our nerves. We'll leave that as it is, that simply there is not science to support the fact that a person is born gay. And there is a lot of science to support the fact that a person is born, I guess what we might call heterosexual. But there's also science, especially psychological research, that shows us that homosexuality and gender dysphoria are not necessarily intentional. Okay, so just because a person is not born predisposed towards homosexuality does not mean that their genes don't play any role at all. Mm-hmm. What we've seen is that there are certain temperaments that can affect whether or not a person develops a homosexual identity. So for example, if I'm a young fellow, a young boy, and I have an emotionally sensitive temperament, maybe my body is not built to be efficient at athletic achievement. Maybe I have a real appreciation for music and color. Those are some things that your genetic makeup can have something to do with. And as those personality characteristics express themselves, I may find, for example, that I don't feel at home as much with some of the other male communities that I'm a part of. That may lead me to questioning, well, what kind of boy am I if I'm not a boy like all the other boys are boys? Add to that some experiences. What we find is that people who identify as homosexual or who struggle with gender dysphoria report 2 to 3 times the rate of relational trauma in their history. So abusive relationships, mm-hmm. coming from broken homes, feeling excluded or ostracized by peer groups. Those are things that individuals don't have any control over. And so we've got to be careful that we don't say, well, science shows us that you're not born gay, so you must choose to be that way. I think that's an oversimplification of what happens in a lot of cases. A lot of times individuals who do struggle with same-sex attraction and gender dysphoria are telling us, I feel like I've always been this person. I never made a conscious choice to be attracted to one sex or the other. This is just how people have treated me and where I feel I fit. And there can be a lot of truth to that. So we need to bear those things in mind. Of course, the decision to act on those feelings of attraction or identity, that is a conscious choice, and all of us should exercise, I think, moral control, rational control, self-discipline over our sexual desires and who we choose to enter into relationships with. So those are kind of the two, I think, most important points of science. A third one would be that same-sex attraction or homosexuality and gender dysphoria are not harmless. So a lot of times we hear, why do you worry about what someone else is doing in their own private life or in their own bedroom if it's not affecting anybody? Well, the truth is that homosexuality and gender dysphoria do, they come with a lot of harm, both to the individuals who are engaging in them and to the people around them. One of the most striking statistics is that the rate of depression and suicide attempts is far higher amongst people who struggle with homosexuality than it is amongst the general population. And people who struggle with gender dysphoria, they have an even higher rate of mental health difficulties and lifetime suicide attempts. We hear that maybe as many as 50% of people who struggle with gender dysphoria will attempt suicide at some point in their life. And that's very difficult.
Maybe this is a dumb question, but why is it so high?
I would say that it goes back to what we were talking about with a history of relational trauma. You're dealing with folks who have really been betrayed and abused by a lot of people close to them in their lives. They felt excluded from their peer groups, excluded from their families. They feel like just the fact that my personality is at odds with my biology, having to live with that kind of struggle and stress every day, absolutely would lead a person to feel like, I don't want to go on living like this anymore. In addition to that, the research is very clear that people who struggle with same-sex attraction and gender dysphoria have higher risk of anxiety disorders, higher risks of depression, higher rate of substance abuse and post-traumatic stress disorder. And the list goes on and on, having experienced a lot more domestic violence than their counterparts that come from different situations. So, it's just your people who are dealing with a lot of brokenness.
Right, and it probably doesn't help if there's anybody in society or their peers, that make fun of them or treat them poorly because of their choice of lifestyle.
Yeah, and the truth is there are ignorant people on both sides of the sexuality debate. There are ignorant people who are in favor of acceptance of homosexuality and transgenderism, who treat folks who struggle with these things like they're a pawn to advance their agenda. And then there are people who are against homosexuality and transgenderism, who are very callous, uncaring, rude, unchristian, and bigoted. And I think that can add to the stress.
Yeah. Joining us this afternoon is Pastor Solomink. He is the Executive Director of Lutherans for Life. By the way, the website for Lutherans for Life is lutheransforlife.org. That's lutheransforlife.org. This is the Y-Files. I'm Captain Kirk. We have to take a quick break. Don't go away. I'll be right back.
Listening to
The Cross.
KNNA 95.7. 95.7 FM, Lincoln, Nebraska.
Abortion. Just the word makes many of us sweat. We can lose sleep thinking about how we respond to conversations about it. Much of our culture's conversation about life issues like abortion or assisted suicide is motivated by anger and fear and pain. Hi, I'm Pastor Michael Solomink, Executive Director of Lutherans for Life. Our ministry exists to equip Lutherans to be gospel-motivated voices for life. You can find resources that will give you motivation, get you education, and help you take action about life issues in your family and your community. Visit our website at www.lutheransforlife.org or call us at 888-364-LIFE. That's 888-364-5433. And be motivated by the gospel of joy and hope in Jesus Christ.
I'm Pastor Dreyer from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We're a graduate institution that prepares men and women to serve within our congregations as pastors as well as deaconesses. We always ask for your prayers as well as your support in any way. If you're interested in supporting our seminary, we can find more information at www.ctsfw.edu.
This is Pastor Clint Poppy, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. We'd like to invite you to join us to worship with us at Good Shepherd. We gather each Sunday at 8 and 10:30 with Sunday school for all ages in between. We also worship each Wednesday evening at 6:30 p.m. Please join us, won't you? We're located just north of 40th and Old Cheney. Thank you, and may God richly bless you today and always in Jesus.
Welcome back to the Y-Files. I am Captain Kirk. Joining me this afternoon here on the amazing Y-Files. By the way, before I get to that, KRRC LP in Rogue River, Oregon plays this show. So I want to welcome that radio station and those listeners out there. So, but don't forget, this is KNNA LP 95.7 FM here in Lincoln, Nebraska. So joining me this afternoon is the Executive Director of Lutherans for Life, Pastor Salamink. By the way, the website is lutheransforlife.org. We have been discussing the various sexualities of life, I guess. I'm not even really sure how to say it without just saying LGBTQ,
IA plus.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So so we've had lengthy discussions, some definitions of that, some understanding of what each one means. We've also got into the scientific research about homosexuality and that kind of thing. And what that kind of reminds me of, Pastor, is animals. You know, the argument is that people see themselves as animals, and well, if animals act like this, then it's okay for people to act like this. So the question is, even if we threw away all the creation, God's word aside, we just completely ignored it and looked at it from an evolutionary standpoint, which means we're looking at ourselves as animals, does the lifestyle of homosexuality, transgenderism, bisexual, what have you, does that go against evolutionism?
I suppose. I think you'd probably have to quiz somebody who is an evolutionist, although I haven't. In my research, I have not come across a defense of homosexuality from an evolutionary standpoint. So there's probably somebody's PhD project that could be made out of trying to link together homosexuality and evolutionary biology. One thinks that it runs counter to natural selection. The point of natural selection is to pass on your genes to the next generation. The thing about homosexuality is that homosexuals are incapable of producing offspring without the help of somebody else. But the case is often made, well, we see homosexual behavior in the animal kingdom. It's been observed in some, 1,500 different species of vertebrate. So doesn't that mean that this expression of sexuality is just another of the natural varieties that's built into the animal kingdom? And I caution folks, let's think that through, because although it makes sense on the surface, when you really look at the implications, it can be kind of frightening. The truth is, homosexual behavior that we observe in animals is behavior in animals that human beings interpret as homosexual. And let me give you an example. In some animal communities, sexual activity or attempted sexual activity, one animal attempts to mount another, it can serve purposes other than reproduction or physical gratification. Sometimes it has a sort of social function, right? Scientists have observed that in certain animal communities where there's where the pecking order hasn't maybe been necessarily defined clearly, and certain animal individuals don't know where they stand, sometimes there'll be this this random mounting behavior as one animal seeks to assert dominance over another. In that case, I don't know that we could speak of that as same-sex attraction. And in human communities, we're able to accomplish easing social tension by other means than sexual activity, right? We can shake hands, tell jokes, smile at each other, have sort of mixers and get-to-know-you games and things like that. So that's just an example of where we're interpreting homosexual behavior. The truth is, it would be almost impossible to find an animal who self-identifies as gay, because animals don't self-identify as anything. Self-identifying is a peculiar characteristic of human beings. Finally, there's all kinds of behaviors that animals engage in that are what we would say are beneath humankind, right? Anybody who's raised animals, who's bred animals, knows that sometimes animals will instinctively eat their own offspring. Nobody suggests that that is a behavior that human beings ought to emulate. So even if homosexuality does take place in the animal kingdom, which again, I think you'd be hard-pressed to prove that, it's more that we interpret it. Even if it does, it doesn't mean that it's something that human beings ought to imitate, because the truth is human beings as rational, moral creatures have additional abilities and additional responsibilities that animals don't. And to bring this back around to the evolutionary question, I suppose we would say then that human beings, if evolution is to be believed, human beings have an evolutionary responsibility not to imitate, creatures lower on the totem pole. That's about the best I could say about that.
Yeah, thank you. That's one of the questions I've had in discussing this topic with other people is throwing out creation entirely and mm-hmm. just looking at evolution. That's a good explanation, honestly. I think that's really good and very helpful for me, I know. So prior to this part of the discussion and prior to the break, we talked about the scientific research about homosexuality, and you're not really born with a gay gene. A lot of it has to do, with your environment is what it sounds like and how you are treated in society. So there's a little bit of a negative outlook, I guess. Is there anything positive about any of this?
Well, I mean, the good news is that the research is very clear, the science is clear that same-sex attraction and gender dysphoria are not unchanging or unchangeable. I think that that is hope for a person who struggles against their own same-sex attraction or gender dysphoria, or a person who loves somebody who struggles with same-sex attraction and gender dysphoria. When it comes to gender dysphoria, this feeling that I think I might really be a girl even though I have a male body, or vice versa, what we find is that the experience of figuring out how does my body match my personality presents a lot of awkward feelings, especially for adolescents. And so there's actually a documented phenomenon called rapid onset gender dysphoria, or ROGD. It's currently being researched because parents are observing that they have teenage children who are, without any prior warning or really any history, all of a sudden presenting with gender dysphoria. And that a lot of times they have significant members of their peer group who are also presenting with gender dysphoria. And this sort of happens overnight. It's very worrisome to parents, especially because the culture, the prevailing culture, has a message that we need to accept our children exactly as they say they are in the moment that they say they are, especially when it comes to their sexuality, because if we don't, we could drive them to suicide. The truth is, the research shows nearly all children grow up to identify with their biological sex. So whatever experiences a teenager goes through, nearly all of them will just sort of naturally gravitate toward understanding and accepting themselves as the boy or the girl that God has created them to be in the flesh, in the body. Now, that's not to say that adolescents don't go through a great deal of uncertainty, even some questioning. I think all of us went through periods where we were trying to understand what does it mean to be an adult male or an adult female. And even in the context of some of those disorders of sexual development that we talked about before, where one's external genitalia are ambiguous, or one may have physical characteristics of both sexes, even in the context of those, again, nearly all individuals identify with their biological sex. That is hope for parents of teenagers who are going through some of these experiences. We also find that opposite sex attraction and identity is more stable than a lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender identity. What this means is a very, very small minority, only a fraction of the population, ever identifies as exclusively homosexual throughout their entire life. Some people feel like I may have had this feeling or even this experience, but I largely have been heterosexual. And finally, the studies that have been done indicate that when a person seeks psychotherapy, not the caricatures like pray the gay away or shock treatment. Nobody's doing that kind of stuff. No serious psychotherapists are doing that. But participants who seek genuine mental health assistance, counseling, in the context of their struggle with same-sex attraction and gender dysphoria, they do report good results from that. At least about half the time. And remember that our goal with a person who's experiencing same-sex attraction or gender dysphoria, in most cases, those are a coping mechanism to deal with trauma. And so our goal is to help those folks come to healing with their trauma. And what we find is that most of the time that is the case.
This is the Y-Files. We got to take a quick break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Want to get a painting project started but just don't have the time? Indigo Painting is here to help. Indigo Painting does interior, exterior, doors, garages, accent walls, stain, foundations, windows, and even small drywall repairs. Indigo Painting, For more information, call 402-610-1872. That is 402-610-1872. Indigo Painting, where their motto is, "Your satisfaction is our priority."
The other day, I saw someone carrying their desktop computer to listen to KNNA online. I ran up to him and asked, "What are you doing?" He just looked at me like a cow looks at an oncoming train. "I'm streaming the radio, man." As I shook my head, I pulled out my phone and showed him the free KNNA app. When he saw this, his eyes widened and shone with delight.
Dad?
And light from above shined down on him, and
Dad?
He began to fly with happiness and joy.
Dad!
What?
Did that really happen?
Well, no, not really. The point is, sweetheart, that you can listen to 95.7 FM anywhere in the world by using the KNNA app on your mobile device.
Would you like to be able to speak about life issues like abortion or assisted suicide with courage and compassion? Hi, I'm Pastor Michael Salamek, Executive Director of Lutherans for Life. We're an organization that exists to equip Lutherans to be gospel-motivated voices for life. We have resources available at www.lutheransforlife.org, or you can call us at 888-364-LIFE. That's 888-364-5433.
Welcome back to the Y-Files. I am Captain Kirk, and joining me this afternoon is the Executive Director of Lutherans for Life, Pastor Salamink. And that spot that you just heard gave the website and phone number, and that website is lutheransforlife.org. That's lutheransforlife.org. And we have been discussing homosexuality, the LGBTQ community, the scientific research behind that, and a lot of other areas of this discussion. So we don't have much time left. So what I want to get to is something that we kind of discussed the last time that you were on. I kind of want to rehash it a little bit now that we have more information about this subject. Is the homosexual LGBTQ lifestyle, is that wrong, and why? If it is wrong, why?
Well, I can say this. Every human being is sinful, fallen, and broken. So the truth is that every single one of our lifestyles is wrong in some dimension, in some capacity. And that includes our sexuality. Jesus is clear when he talks in Matthew chapter 5. He says, every one of you who looks at a woman with lust in his heart has committed adultery with her already. Now, I think it's interesting to really examine that statement, because I think that most Christians who have heard that before, when we hear it, what we hear Jesus saying is, everyone who looks at a woman who is not his wife with lust in his heart has committed adultery with her. But notice how that's different from what Jesus says. His words are, everyone who looks at a woman, whether he is married to her or not, with lust in his heart has committed adultery with her already. Now, I can ask you, Jim, have you and I ever looked at our wives lustfully? In other words, have we ever seen her as an object for our gratification? I have to confess, yes, of course.
Yeah.
And if that is the case, then according to Jesus's command, I am guilty of adultery with my own spouse. That leaves none of us as innocent when it comes to sexuality. So when we talk about these things, talking about sexual brokenness, it is something that affects all of us. And remember, the point of the gospel of Jesus Christ is not to make people straight. The point of the gospel of Jesus Christ is to make people God's children as they are. So it's important for us as Christians, when we are speaking the message of the gospel, to remember that. Now, the good news is God offers a salvation from specifically the brokenness of same-sex attraction and gender dysphoria. And I would challenge our listeners to genuinely, as God gives you the opportunity, engage in conversation with people who struggle with these particular experiences. And I mean do a lot of asking and listening, because what you will find is a lot of times These folks, these experiences are burdensome for them, and they really do desire a freedom, a valuing of their self that does not come from their sexuality, however broken or whole it may be. Now, the truth is that God, in the beginning, created male and female, and he said that it was good. The reason that he said it was good is because he designed male and female human beings to live in relationships. Ultimately, that's the meaning of life. The meaning of life is to have relationship with God, to have relationship with each other. That's why God put us here, to love and to be loved. But love is a gift from God, and because it is his gift, he gets to define the terms. So that means that love is not just about feeling good about myself or feeling good when I'm with somebody else. Love is giving and receiving in such a way that it makes me and the other person better. Now, that includes marital love, it includes family love, but it also includes friendships and neighborly relationships, co-workers, acquaintances. There's such a wide variety of relationships that God has designed us to engage in. Sexuality is just one of those. But when it comes to sexuality, God's very clear in his word that the greatest gift God gives to sexuality is procreation. Ultimately, that's the goal of sexuality in males and females, husbands and wives. God says, be fruitful and increase in number. So while there are other benefits to sexual relationship between husband and wife, it is clear to us both biologically and scripturally that the primary purpose is the procreation of children when God grants that. Again, the good news is that Jesus Christ has come into the world and has redeemed human flesh in all of its different brokennesses. That means that he knows the experiences that we have had. He knows the sufferings that we bear, whether our temptations are heterosexual or homosexual or some combination of the two, whether we struggle with our gender identity or our spiritual identity or our physical identity. Jesus comes to redeem us from that. And the way he does that is by placing us into the Christian community and giving us his grace and forgiveness so that we understand who I am is defined by God. It is given to me by God. He tells me who I am, and who he comes up with for me to be is always so much better than I can come up with for myself. God accepts me unconditionally, and then he moves me toward the person he has designed me to be, and he tells me about that person in his word, the scriptures. God is conforming me to the pattern of his son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And it is the gospel of God's grace and forgiveness and knowing that he loves me, that he is my primary relationship and identity giver. That is what brings the healing that all of us are desperate for.
It almost sounds like, maybe for someone who's just tuning in, it almost sounds like you're saying, well, I can live this lifestyle no matter what because Jesus loves me. is that kind of what you're saying?
There are people who have made that case, but unfortunately, that particular understanding misinterprets what the gospel of Jesus Christ is about. The gospel of Jesus Christ, yes, gives me freedom, but it is not a freedom from something as much as it is a freedom for something, right? So Jesus doesn't set me free from his expectations and his will for me. He sets me free to live in that will, to live up to those expectations, right? So the way that the gospel of God's forgiveness heals me is that it allows me, without guilt or pressure, to live in the relationships that he has given me according to the characteristics of those relationships. So God's forgiveness and power of resurrection works throughout my life on both my heart and my body so that day by day I come to conform more and more to the kind of love that he has for me and the kind of love that he has designed into creation for me, which is a love that consists in giving and receiving, a love between friends, between brothers and sisters, parents and children, and yes, also a love between husbands and wives when God grants that to me. But we misunderstand the gospel if we think that it means God just wants me to be happy. In truth, God sent his son Jesus so that I might become good, and in being good, I will be the happiest that I have ever been. But it is God who defines what good means, and in the scriptures, good means male and female as God creates them to be.
So as we commit our sexual sins on a daily basis, and we do on a daily basis, on a daily basis, we should also be repenting of our sexual sins.
Because we know the pain that those sins bring to us and to the people around us, that they reduce the people around us to objects, and that we are seeking a certain kind of fulfillment and salvation outside of God that he has designed us to seek from him alone. And in that repentance, we are turning away from those hurtful ways that are futile and turning towards a God who has promised that he will bring us to the fulfillment of what he has created us to be.
So we have about 2.5 minutes, and you laughed at me the last time I asked you this question during the program, because there's not a lot of time, but can you maybe briefly state how we as Christians should handle speaking to someone who is homosexual or believes in homosexuality or transdysphobia or gender dysphoria, how should we be responding to conversations like that?
The same way as you would engage in conversation with anybody else, because the truth is a person who struggles with gender dysphoria or same-sex attraction is still a person. And if you've met one person who has gender dysphoria or same-sex attraction, you've met one person who has same-sex attraction or gender dysphoria. Do a lot of listening, a lot of asking questions. Don't be afraid that you're going to be guilty by association as if that person's sins were worse than the ones that you already have. And then share with them the joy and the hope of the gospel that God has brought to your life. Be patient and be prepared to form a long-term relationship with them. Remember, the goal of the gospel is not to make people straight. The goal of the gospel is to make people children of God and for us to be able to receive them as brothers and sisters in Christ. Healing from all of our physical and spiritual brokennesses takes a lifetime. And so we need to be prepared. And I guess we get to be excited about walking for a lifetime, even with people who struggle with same-sex attraction and gender dysphoria, in the hope that we'll get to spend eternity with them.
Joining us this afternoon is Pastor Salamink. He is the Executive Director of Lutherans for Life. You can go to their website, lutheransforlife.org. That's lutheransforlife.org. It's a great website, a lot of information. It's a great place to start if you've got questions. And, of course, so is the Y-Files, because Pastor Salamink has been on this program I don't know how many times, half a dozen times at least.
At least.
So, and we've discussed abortion and suicide and euthanasia and homosexuality and gender dysphoria. I mean, oh my goodness, we have covered a lot of topics. I really appreciate you coming back onto the program, Pastor.
You bet. It is always a joy to engage in conversation.
So if you have any questions that you want to give to the Y-Files, you can go to thecross957.org and click on the Y-Files logo. That'll take you to a prompt that says, ask a question. Or you can go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/Y-Files, and you can ask a question there. And we will ask it on your behalf to the pastor that we will have a guest on. And we don't have to even say your name. We don't even have to say who had the question. We could just say the question only. Don't have to worry about that. So, also, if you want to listen to other shows, go to the Y-Files page on thecross957.org. You can see that there. We got to go. See you later. Have a great week.